Hello guys, and welcome back to the lively world of FPL Copy Talks. Alongside with my buddies, we're here to spice up your fantasy football journey with our expert insights and a whole lot of loves. I'm Anwar, the FPL Casual, your go-to guy for all things FPL Casual.
I'm ABK, the loyalist to the team that's taking it to the final day of the game week for the title challenge. Arsenal, that is.
And I'm Lukman, the sensible one. How's it going, boys?
Good.
ABK, first time, ABK. Going to the final game for the title.
Last year, wasn't it? Last year, we were out of it before.
Yeah, last year, you were out after Saliba got injured.
Oh, after Trent inverted to midfield.
But trust me, we've been there like three times, Lukman.
Two times, bro.
Three times.
And it's not going to go well on the final day.
It will.
So technically, right? Like, we'll. Yeah.
We both bottle it.
You know, like Sky Sports, like essentially, really announced Man City as champions. A bit like disrespectful,
Yeah, you got. Do you guys hear the interview by Moyes? Not like he really give up really. Like he say like, yeah. Oh, like under 14, we're gonna have a hard time keeping the under 14 Man City team to win the title. How is he like that? What kind of mentality is it?
You're not expecting much,
Yeah.
Actually, you gotta blame the loyalists, or the fan base, AFTV right. Fan base, I think nobody Why? Wants Arsenal to win at the moment.
Why? Don't understand.
Because City got no supporters, so it'd be a quiet.
Same thing, when Liverpool also nobody wanted us to win. Everyone wanted City to win. It's the same thing, Nobody knows City fans, around this part of the world, right? Yeah, but remember two seasons ago,
I think most parts of the world,
Remember Coutinho put Aston Villa 2-0 up like two seasons ago when we were en route to our quadruple? Do you remember that or not?
No.
You don't remember?
Who put 2-0 up?
Coutinho.
Aston Villa.
Oh, Coutinho.
Then Man City scored 3 thanks to Tyrone Mings. So they drew and we would have won a title. But yeah, shall we move on? Anything else we want to talk about before we get cracking?
No.
Okay, so just happy the regular.
Just happy that we're the regular sport, man.
the regular spiel, right? If you guys haven't followed us on any of our socials, we are semi-active on IG and TikTok. Sorry, on X. TikTok, we're not active yet. Hopefully next season. But we are on TikTok, we're on Facebook, and we're on YouTube as well.
Yep, if you're listening to this on Spotify, don't forget to subscribe to our channel and give us the 5-star rating.
And also, if you haven't, do join our Telegram group. This is where we usually run our FPL Price League, but now our Price League is closed for entries. And we'll probably, maybe at the second episode, we'll go through how it's going down to the wire in terms of the fight in the Price League. But anyway, I'm looking forward to today's pod. And without further ado, grab your beverage of choice. This is episode 129, Duran. Let's get into it.
Let's go.
Boss, copy all shot to boss.
You're listening to FPL Kobe Talks.
It's Freddie Youngberg again. Push out by Bartlett. Wilson!
Right here. Right now.
Welcome back to another segment of the Bias Brigade, also known as Tall Grande Venti, where we throw objectivity out of the window and embrace our inner football fanatics. In this segment, we are diving headfirst into the murky waters of pure bias and opinion to rate the highs and lows of this latest game week, this latest big double game week which just ended this morning. Let's kick it off with I think ABK will be the one to go first. How's your game week, bro?
A bench boost, bro.
The only reason why I did badly is because of Guardiola.
Your transfer,
lack
bro.
Of, no, lack of Guardiola in my team.
Let's talk about your transfer.
Yeah, so I did. Basically, I was busy this week. This weekend, I had my Ironman triathlon to attend. So I made an early transfer because I didn't want to think about my transfers come the weekend. So what I did was I did Garnacho to Richarlison as suggested by Lukman. So I'm going to blame this on Lukman. And what what happened was that actually in the morning of my triathlon, like when I woke up, I checked Reddit and I saw that Richarlison like pulled out of the Brazil squad or something. So he wasn't going to play. And then like I really couldn't think of who I wanted to bring in. I was thinking of Johnson. I was thinking of Bernardo Silva. In the end, I just like, I'm just not going to think about it.
You heard the news that he's out. You still brought him in.
No, I heard the
news. No, after.
After I brought him in.
Oh, then by the way, you say, you can't think because... Oh,
I can't think of who I want to replace Richarlison is Richarlison with for -4. And after that, I was like, never mind lah. So end up, I stuck with Richarlison in my team. And so I played a bench boost with one player that was 0 points, with 0 points. Okay, so anyway, how my team was set up. So I got 121 points. It's still a green arrow for my bench boost. Just scheming the one at the top of the 1 million rank, 1,079 rank. I think it was 1.3 before this. So my team, my keepers were Petrovic and Onana. My defenders are Pedro Porro, Walker, Burn, Havertz, Dalot, and Gabriel. My midfielders are Richarlison. De Bruyne is my captain, Gordon, Palmer, and Havertz. And my up front, I have Nicholas Jackson, Haaland, and Isak. Yeah, so I think the only thing that was really bad was, I think, maybe the Richarlison move and also having Walker Vardiol instead of Vardiol. I think that hurt me because Vardiol had 27 points this week. So that's a 14-point swing. Yeah, so anyway, like, this season is over for me. So I'm just going to play for fun. Stay tuned for my transfer at the end. My transfer for this game week is going to be, of course, an Arsenal transfer. So stay tuned for it. Yeah.
Okay. Your ratings?
Ratings. Arsenal still brought it to the end of the... We won 1-0. We brought it to the end of the final game week of the season. So I'm going to go with 6 out of 10 for me. Yeah.
Anwar, you're up.
All right. I'm moving on next. So, very interesting game week. I'm quite glad that I took the chance to bench boost in 34 and free hit in 37.
Why though?
Pretty decent output because I wouldn't have imagined it being any better than my current score this week. Right, so I've got 126 points. Not the best, but still a small green arrow, surprisingly, considering that I think 80% of all managers were bench boosting this week, something like that along the stats, right? So I think I really held up my own. One interesting thing, ABK messed up with Richarlison, right? So the moment the deadline closed, right, when I checked in my team, right, I realized that I forgot to swap in Petrovic for Pickford. So I brought in Petrovic as my double game week goalkeeper, right?
Jammy.
I forgot to, and then Pickford got 8 points, and I think Pickford was the second best performing goalkeeper.
After Ederson.
Only after Ederson. And Ederson played 1.5 games. So I think like I got away with that one. 8 points, crazy. I should have kept Brentwood
5 points
there in as well.
Sorry? 5 points more. Because Petrovic got 3 points.
Five,
so
5 points more than Petrovic. Yeah. And I think like comparing to like the other options, I think only Ederson was the choice that we're gonna hit. So yeah, decent there. Liverpool final away game. With Klopp in charge, starting to kick in. Next season, we're going to get Ane a slot. I don't know how to feel about that one. And it's confirmed that Pepe Linders is also leaving the club. He's joining Red Bull Salzburg as their RB Salzburg as their head coach. So good move for him, but feeling nostalgic all around. And City gonna run away with another title. Always knew it was it's hard to put hopes on Arsenal to dent their title charge after we bottled. So Pretty sad all around.
You should be disappointed with Spurs. Spurs couldn't, was the one that was responsible.
I mean, like, would you, as a gunner, have me put faith in your club to beat City, or have faith in Spurs to beat City in that one game? It's a disrespect, right, to not have the faith that Arsenal can do it without Spurs.
Yeah. You mean that one when they parked the bus, right? And they drew, right? Arsenal.
Yeah. Correct. I mean, like, I don't know, like, I mean, it's just a season.
Okay, your favorite team, bro. What's your favorite team?
Yeah. Anyway, I got Pickford in goal, Pedro Porro, Livramento, as suggested by Lokman, Gvardiol, Son, Palmer, De Bruyne, Gordon, Livramento.
He didn't play this morning, is it?
I don't know, he's on a red flag. He didn't play this morning. Yeah, what a shame. Should I put Benwick in there or Gabriel? Not enough money, yeah. So I had to go with Livramento. Son, Palmer, De Bruyne, Gordon, Isak, Haaland, Jackson. So up front, Isak was just lackluster. Haaland, Hall, and then we got Jackson. So overall, 126 points if you consider the bonus points. Potential bonus points gain this morning by Gordon. So 126 points with a small green arrow. I think I rose about 5k. So right now I'm slightly above 100k at 118k. So I've got one more game week to try to push this forward.
Check your life happy. How many points away are you from top 100k? Do you know how to do that? You scroll down. On the left. Okay. No, you do that for part 2. Then we can talk about the transfers. But anyway.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay, then so my overall ranking for this week is just a mile 5 out of 10.
Alright. My 10. So Monster, 145 points on my bench boost thanks to Vardiol and Van de Ven. So I had Green Arrow from 530 to 370. So semi-respectable OR. I mean, it's still not... It's still quite bad, but yeah, it is what it is. So, my team. So, I used my one transfer and wrote the other. I bought Luis Dung, who came off injured this morning at halftime, for Diogo Dalot. So, lucky Dalot didn't do much. But anyway, my team. I'll just read out my 15 players. Petrovic, Onana, Porro, Burn, Vardiol, Dung, Van de Ven, Bruno, who appeared this morning with an assist, Palmer, Foden, Son, Gordon, Jackson, Captain Haaland, and Isa. So yeah, 145, 30 points above my safety. So yeah, quite a monster week. And my ratings will be a decent rating. I felt quite good. It's my highest rank of the season, 370k. So my rating will be 7 out of 10.
Comment. Let's go lah.
Comment.
300k?
Highest rank of the season.
370. Yeah, 370.
Not bad.
Actually, last game week 500 was my highest also.
If you check a live FPL, how many points you need to be under 100k?
No, bro. Relax, bro. That's too much already.
You know how to do above it? You scroll down.
Okay. I thought you really asked me. 87 points, by the way. 87. I don't think I can get top 300. Top 300k is 16 points. I think 16 points is a bit too much. I cannot captain Haaland.
16 point.
I cannot captain Haaland if I want to get top 300k. So I think it's a bit, and I still have a cup tie to play for, so I'll probably captain Haaland. So it'll be difficult. 1-6.
Cup tie to play for.
Okay, let's go. Let's move on to the segment Brew of the Week. In this segment, we sift through the latest matchups, dissecting the performances of players who truly brewed up a storm on the pitch. Where do you guys want to start, bro? Man City.
Yeah, we can go there, get it over and done with, and then move on.
Let's talk about the main guy, Vardiol. Vard of honor. So, since game week 33, right?
He had all these puns ready for the episode title.
Vard of honor.
Vard of honor. So, basically, since game week 33, he had 6 attacking returns in 6 games. He's averaging 11 points in the last 5 game weeks. That's crazy. So, I don't know where it came from, because before that, he did nothing at all in terms of returns. Yeah. But, yeah, playing left wing helps. So,
and
yeah.
And despite all that, right, he still be a rotation risk next season.
Yeah.
If Pep's in charge.
I think he'll be 6 million next year. And he still could be most deep. Yeah, he still could be
It's still a rotation risk.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't know how. Hear me out. When we were chasing City for the title, right? I mean, we as in Liverpool, not only this season but the past season back. It's always been a very salty thing to say that, oh, they have got Arab money, they got very oil money, and I was comfortable with that, lah. But if you look at it, right? Like, you gotta give this Pep a lot of respect, ah. Like, okay, they had the funds to bring in players, but the net spend is relatively decent. They didn't splash and wasted the cash. And if really, there's hit and misses like in the transfer, but if really, really that money could win you the title that easily, right? Chelsea, United for that matter, would have easily run the Premier League as well. You get what I mean? Like, you're looking at players like Akanji, John Stones, who were they were decent players. Like, of course, you have your Calvin Phillips who just fizzled out, right? Yeah, but like, you look at these players, like, they just different, ah. Like, who would thought Vardiol would be playing at this such an advanced position? Like, he was more of a fast centre-back, but he converted him to, like, this wide centre-back, big guy who's marauding down the flank. Like, he's just crazy, man. I have lots of respect for Pep, as much as I hate him as a rival. Like, Nathan Ake, from Bournemouth, came here looking like...
Vardiol, 100 million, though, bro. I know it's a bit... He's a centre-back, but he's 100 million, bro.
Yeah, I won't say Vardiol, but I mean, like, what he's done with Vardiol, 100 million centre-back, you probably won't see the same results in Liverpool, for that matter, right? So he'd probably be just partnering Van Dijk at the back ahead of Konate, for example. Or at United, it's probably be just at the centre-back. At Arsenal,
his first goal,
an inverted left-back, right?
So his first goal against Fulham, right, was crazy. Well, like how he took the chance and like right leg.
Exactly. So
I don't know how he did that. Yeah.
So then you look at players like John Stones, right? Like, he was just a ball playing centre back, but now like he's like this silky centre back DM kind of guy. I mean, they're not cheap players, but with the money, you've got a Ferrari. And you know how to corner, then it gives you the F1 title lah.
Yeah.
If you have a Ferrari and you don't know how to brake.
Pep basically buy all these expensive cars and knows how to drive them.
Exactly. So a lot of respect lah, a lot of respect. Even Jack Grealish, he used to be like a dribbler and all this, but coming here, he also changed a little bit his gameplay. It's interesting. Bernardo Silva, or even if you look before this, right, like David Silva, like small player, but under Pep, I don't know. Like Rodri was just like a potential Busquets. But for you to actually convert someone to not lose a game when he's on the pitch and commanding that defensive midfielder position so well, it's got to be great communication from your ideas straight to the players who accept what you're saying. Yeah. So maybe the Bluetooth connection with Calvin Phillips is a bit off. Let's say.
Okay, let's get it done over with, right?
That's my rule for City. I hate to do it, but it's ridiculous. ridiculous what Pep does.
Yeah, I think that's for Game Week 38. I think Man City, of course, they're going to play West Ham home, right? I really see that like a rugby score kind of game. But you already have your three assets, right? So there's nothing much to talk about for City assets. But let's move on. Anyone else you guys want to brew?
I think I want to give some credit to Chelsea as well for their end of season push. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So I think they beat West Ham 5-0, and then this week they had a double game week. They won both games, if I'm not mistaken.
Forest and Brighton away, they won by one goal.
By one goal. I mean, the goals are still conceding, but they're converting their chances. And like even today, this morning, the 2-1 win, despite Reece James red card in the 60th minute, they managed to hold on. And a cuckoo haul.
Not 60th, right? Bro. Towards the end.
Not 60th.
90th. 88th minute. 88, lucky number. That's why they conceded. The 97th minute, they went the clean sheet. So, Gusto got the clean sheet, by the way, because he got subbed out.
So I don't know. It potentially could mean that Pochettino is getting something right at the club. I don't know whether it's a sign of, like, you know, because they brought in so many players, they brought in a new manager. It took them almost a full season to get it right. I'm not sure. It could be over speculating too early, but if this is the team that he's setting up with, even like Madueke, even Mudrik in the last couple of games, not this morning, but last couple of games, Jackson showing some form, right? I think it'd be interesting to see, like, how this team shape up in game week. In the next season. Especially the full preseason under the belt. Players like Lavia probably coming back as well. And then you got, like,
the prices of the assets will be interesting. I don't know how much they're going to price some of these players.
Palmer will be expensive. Palmer will at least be 7?
9? Yeah. I think nine.
Wow. That's a lot.
I think maybe 8.5 somewhere down for them this season.
8.5.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, okay, for those of you listening, we will be doing a pre-season section on guess the prices for next season. So just stay tuned for that. Quite excited for that.
Okay. Just a quick few permutations on the final game. Okay. So Spurs is 5th, right? With 63 points. Chelsea is 60, 3 points behind. And then Newcastle and Man U further 3 points behind with 57 points. So let's assume Man City wins the FA Cup, which is a fair assumption, against Man United. Means Newcastle and Man U will be fighting out for the... Basically, 7th place will get Conference League. So
yeah,
either Newcastle or Man U, if you let the table down, Newcastle or Man U will fight for the Conference League. It will be tough. So Chelsea is 3 points ahead, right? So let's say Chelsea draw with Bournemouth, they will be guaranteed a Europa League. So yeah, so and Chelsea, if United win the FA Cup,
yeah, they'll be okay.
If United win the FA Cup, right, they'll get Europa League straight away. And then basically the other team will get Conference League. Let's say they win, right, means the next team, means 5th and Man U will go Europa Cup, and then the 6th will go Conference League. Depending on where Man U finish, But let's not assume that. It's a far assumption, So yeah, at least the point is
possible.
The point is Spurs, Chelsea, Newcastle, Man U, there's something to play for in game week 38. There's still something on the line. So they won't be on the beach per se. So there's something to take note when you buy your assets for these teams.
Okay. In Liverpool also, it'll be the final home game for Jurgen Klopp.
There's nothing to play for though.
So it'll be an emotional farewell. Like one for Klopp, one for the road. West Ham also, they're playing their final away game under David Moyes. So that's one for the Broncos.
You know, Sir Alex's last game in charge, right? You all remember what's the score now? Against West Brom?
No, I don't.
It was 5-5. So do you think it'll be a 5-5? Possible, the way Liverpool defends nowadays, it could be 5-5 against Wolves.
Potentially, potentially.
Possible, yeah.
But I'm just glad that Villa completed their top 4. So we got some European pedigree and history up there. If not, only 2 clubs with some European title. At least Villa had won before, right? Yeah, so pretty decent. They lost the second one to Bayern Munich.
Oh, they lost second.
But I mean, it's many years ago, but for a club with such strong history, right? I mean, you should have at least won. Yeah, I'm just glad that they joined the right competition and hopefully they can come back to their glory days.
Should we move on to Rose, guys? Anything else to brew?
Yeah, Poro, Van de Ven scoring from left back. Olisey, a silky performance when he's not on the bench. So Olisey is up there with Rich James for me in terms of players who might perform when they're okay, but too much of a risk to have a permanent asset.
Olisey, monster though, yeah. But let's move on. Rose of the week. In this segment, we don't hold back as we take a tongue-in-cheek look at the players who left FPL managers feeling burnt. I think ABK should start with Richarlison. My OTM pick, by the way. My OTM pick...
Crash and burn.
Burn again. Crash and burn. I mean...
There was a leak. There was a leak before the deadline that he got pulled out.
To be fair, Ange didn't say anything in the press conference. Mm. The reason he said, right, is because it was the last kick of the training session and he didn't know the severity of it. That's the excuse Ange gave after the game. But it's a bit unlucky because of your Ironman and all. But it's a bit unlucky for my OTM pick as well. How was your OTM pick? Didn't do anything, right?
Madueke.
Not too bad. And who's another one? Bruno
Guimaraes. Decent, I mean, like.
Yeah.
I think ABK is going to win this week.
Alright. Okay, anyone else to roast? Should we talk about the relegated? Quick word on Burnley and Luton. Essentially, Luton confirmed their relegation. Bittersweet, what are your feeling?
Sad.
Anwar, as a Luton resident, resident Luton fan in the pod.
Resident Luton.
They should stay there, lah. I'm going to miss my Kabores and Obe. What's his name? Obene. What's his name?
Adebayo. Obene.
Adebayo.
Captain Carlton Morris.
Carlton Morris is just a shame.
Elijah Adebayo, bro. The
yeah, Adebayo, yeah.
Any players you want to pick up, no? Anwar, for your team?
From Luton. I think the...
From Luton.
Kaminski.
The ball boy, the ball boy not bad. The ball boy quite fast. We can get him in Liverpool. Other than that, no one. How about you?
The
Burnley? Burnley and Luton.
Who? I heard.
Obene.
Oh, man. Play which position?
Just a backup left wing.
He's actually a forward in the game, but he plays right wing back. I don't know how FPL, but I'm assuming he's a forward. I don't know. Burnley for you. ABK, anyone you take from Burnley or Luton for Arsenal?
I'm thinking M. Trezor.
Oh, did he even play, bro? Has he been playing? He hasn't been playing, bro.
Trezor.
He hasn't been playing.
And for those of you listening legend. For this first time, right? Like, I think earlier in our first few of the menu, ABK actually like hyped up this M. Trezor. He said, okay, you know what, guys? I'm going to show off my my scouting notebooks. So I read that M. Trezor
was from the Belgian league.
M. Trezor from the Belgium league for me, blah, 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 blah. And I think like that was like 33 game weeks ago. Or something like that, yeah. So, if you guys haven't heard of M. Trezor, we neither. Yeah.
And you'll never hear of him again. Because, unless you play Championship Fantasy.
Somebody could buy unless, you never know.
Unless Arsenal buy
anyway,
on the back of ABK Scout Notes.
Anyway,
let's roast.
No, on the roast first.
Yeah.
The Sun miss. What do you think? That is literally a title deciding miss. It's like John Stones clearing off the line against Liverpool. It's that kind of. It's, I think, quite significant. That. Because I was watching the game, actually.
And
that miss was crazy.
And Sun is typically known for his one on ones.
And Sun is probably the best finisher, best finisher in the, one of the best finishers in the league. So, I don't know. What do you think? That was a crazy moment. ABK, were you watching
don't
it
perform,
game,
don't
no,
perform,
I wasn't
don't
watching
perform.
It live, but I was watching snippets of it. I was out.
I think it's fun.
But I think the Spurs game, right, like, it was unfortunate for Spurs. I think Ortega came up with quite a number of decent saves. Spurs, I think they played decently. There were quite a number of chances as well, that came in. So,
yeah.
But the first goal they considered was just too easy.
Yeah,
it's just a FIFA goals. De Bruyne just do one. Yeah. I don't know. Like if you look back in slow mo, Vicario were like kind of wayang a bit. The jump to save the ball. I mean, like he had an excellent game. Like the one on ones that he saved was just brilliant
the
saves. The Foden one on one. Like he just made back. Himself big. Got the save. I think there was another like reflex save after. It's just crazy. Like I mean, not so crazy lah. I mean, like Vicario coming at the back of Hugo Lloris. Like nobody really knew or expected much of him. He played pretty decent lah. Not only this game but this season generally. But just the whole tactics lah. 1, 2, 3, 4 loss in a row, followed by a win against Burnley, and then you cannot hope much against the City team. So, Spurs next season under Big Ange, what's your thoughts?
I think it's good lah. I mean, Big Ange is instilling, like he did criticize the team in interviews. He said that there's there's something wrong inside and outside of the club. I think people are
cheering
for when Spurs lost. I think he didn't really like the attitude, and he was actually seen also in the videos like scolding the fans who asked him to throw away the game. So I think the kind of attitude as a manager is good. I think it's instilling good qualities in the club. You cannot be, it's a loser mentality. I mean, if you're gonna cheer your team to lose just because you want the rival to win.
Anyway, talking about next season, I think the way he plays, right, if like one player, like an important position is off form, right, like Bissouma, for example, if he's on form, right, the whole team becomes very, very bad, like, especially defensively.
I kind of disagree with you on that point a little bit. Like, this season, yes, because it's the first season, he's looking at how the players can fit the system and all this. I think next season, more players will be more familiar with the roles required for each position. You get what I mean?
My point was, he needs to buy more. Yeah, that's my point here.
He needs to buy a few more, but I also think the players on the bench. Bentancur was also excellent, against City, in my opinion.
Correct.
Yeah, like he looked like
they played well, except for the final third and the defense. Like in the middle of the park, they were quite good, just at the end and at the back, they faltered, But next season, I know they still need to buy somebody, attacking wise, but FPL wise, I don't think Sun is a long term for the upfront, maybe Richarlison, but I don't think so. So they need to buy players to be in contention for top four next season. But yeah, the signs are okay. Decent manager,
One thing I want to ask you is, what do you guys think of Salah for next season? Do you think he will continue doing well, or do you think there'll be a slow decline of Salah? We'll see.
If he stays, he'll perform. That's my thoughts.
I think let's say game week one, right? I wouldn't have him in my team because he's the new manager and he'll probably be still decently priced. So I can say confidently that I don't think he'll be in my game week one team because of the new manager.
Say,
you need to wait and see.
I can say confidently that if he stays, he's my captain for game week one in 24-25.
Fixtures haven't come out yet, bro. Don't anyhow. I'm talking seriously.
I can say I'm confident. It's game week one. Anything can happen. The ball is round.
Yeah, but I think he'll be like maybe 12 million.
The ball is round in game week 1 or game week 38.
all everywhere.
Yeah, game week 38, the ball doesn't turn triangle.
Way out already, bro.
More oblong, the ball maybe. After the whole season, after all the ball a bit oblong. Yeah.
Alright, guys.
Anyway, what do you guys think? There's one more last one. Just this morning, they beat Newcastle 3-2.
You want to roast Man U?
This is not roast. I just want to like the talks about Varane is already leaving the club.
Okay.
Right. Casemiro is right behind him. I think there's rumors that he's looking at Saudi, and there's also rumors that Bruno Fernandes is a target for Bayern Munich and Inter Milan. So it's quite sad for our banter counterparts with this kind of news at this tail end of the season.
Actually, let's talk about that game, the Arsenal and Man U game. I watched the game. I thought why am I watching? Why am I staying up to watch this game? It was a pretty boring game. Alright, ABK.
Yeah, I think Arteta's tactic was just he wanted to win, close up the shop.
Safe.
He closed up the shop. I think the way he set up was a 4-4-2, and I think it was brilliantly managed the game in such that Man U had hardly any chance. And I think Saliba was excellent in the game. If you see his tackle on Garnacho, he's just control of the back. It's just amazing. It wasn't a game that Arsenal controlled, but it was a game that Arsenal easily won, I felt.
I feel like Man U is quite bad. I think if Man U equalized, right, I expect Arsenal to just come back and win the game. I think they were a superior team, even though Arsenal played poorly, in my opinion. But they were just playing safe.
Yep.
Because they just needed a win. Yeah, so sad right. For Man U.
I wanted to see.
All right. Let's move on to part two, guys. But before that, don't forget to follow us on all our socials. If you guys haven't, the links are embedded in our episode description.
Yep, we appreciate your support as usual. So don't be ashamed or shy to give us any feedbacks if you have any.
We'll be back for part two. See you with FPL Kopi Talks signing out.
You're listening to FPL Kopi Talks. Right here. Right now.